Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your words are spirit and life. And we want to receive the spirit and life that is in your word this morning. So, Lord, we open our hearts not only to hear, but to receive from you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. And turn to Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You want to go on and on, don't you, when you start to read Proverbs? Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's not a bad one. But of those first few verses, there are so many sermons that could come out of just six verses. But the part that we're going to concentrate on this morning is the beginning of verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. In Scripture, love and faithfulness go together. If a person is a person of love, he will be faithful. And one of the ways in which you can tell if a person is a person of love or not is by the faithfulness that you see in their lives. God is love, but he is also faithful. You remember in the book of Revelation, what will be written on the exalted Christ is faithful and true. So God expresses his love in his faithfulness towards us. You see in the life of Jesus that he was faithful to his Father, always obeyed his Father, because one act of disobedience means that the cross would not have been effective and there wouldn't have been salvation for anyone. So he comes and lives a life of love in faithful submission to the will and the authority of his Father. We see how he refused to act independently of his Father, spoke only what his Father gave him to speak, did only what the Father wanted him to do. Absolutely faithful to his Father in everything. The faithfulness of God is so remarkable, really, because the Scripture tells us that even when we are faithless, he will always remain faithful. And to be faithful is to be consistent. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. Always utterly reliable and dependable. It doesn't matter how much we mess up. Well, it does matter how much we mess up, but what I mean is whenever we mess up and fail and get into all kinds of confusion, as soon as we turn back to God, there he is in his faithfulness. Always willing to be merciful, always wanting to pour out the gifts of his grace into our lives, never withholding anything from us when we believe and trust in him. Absolutely faithful. But that faithfulness is a mark of his love. The Psalms are full of the faithfulness of God. In Psalm 57:10, we read, "For great is your love, reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies." This is David exalting God for his love and faithfulness. Your love is just so great, it reaches from here to heaven itself. Your faithfulness is so wonderful, it just reaches to the skies. And we're living in that love and faithfulness. Psalm 85, verse 10, we read, "Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other." You see, love and faithfulness come together. In Psalm 86, verse 15, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." He abounds in love, and therefore he abounds in faithfulness, because faithfulness is the way he expresses his love. In Psalm 115, verse 1, we read, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." Nobody can compare with his love and faithfulness. In Psalm 138, verse 2, "I will praise your name for your love and faithfulness." I don't suppose you can quote many phrases from Lamentations. But one phrase you all know from Lamentations, even if you don't know it is from Lamentations, is that his mercies are new every morning. But do you know what the next phrase is? "Great is your faithfulness." You see, his willingness to be merciful to us whenever we turn back and seek his forgiveness, that mercy is another expression of his love and therefore of his faithfulness. So great is his faithfulness. So we get all this in the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? How does Jesus talk about this faithfulness? Because what Jesus was concerned to do was to see the nature of his Father not only reflected in his own life, but in the life of his disciples. To make a disciple is to make someone who is like yourself, really, who reflects the same qualities, the same kind of life that the teacher has. So Jesus wanted his disciples to be like him. And of course, once they had received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, after he had returned to heaven, then they had the life and power of God within them to enable them to be like him. So how does Jesus tackle this whole thing of faithfulness? Well, we know that we can only love because he first loves us. So he says in the Last Supper to the disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And all the way through his ministry, Jesus had expressed that love in his faithfulness to the Father, as we've just seen. But when he speaks those words, he's just about to go to the cross. On the following day, he will be crucified. And so he is going to be faithful to the end. The ultimate act of love and faithfulness is to obey his Father's will to go to the cross. Rachel has already said about the time that we had in the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, it was a very, very powerful time. I think many people met with the Lord at that time. One particular person who'd been very sick had a tremendous heavenly encounter with the Lord. But you see, it was in that garden that Jesus had to come to terms with the ultimate cost of his faithfulness in being prepared to go joyfully and willingly to the cross in order that his life might be the sacrifice for our salvation. So he was demonstrating his faithfulness in his obedience. And this is what Jesus was really impressing upon the disciples at that Last Supper. He says, a new commandment I give you, you are to love one another as I have loved you. And he says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Now, we think, oh, wait a minute. Obedience. There's a new word in what we're saying this morning. No. It's the same word as faithfulness. See, it's the same word as faithfulness. What is faithfulness? It's obedience. What is obedience? It's faithfulness. And you see, what Jesus is really doing is unpacking this concept of faithfulness. And he's really saying to them, I have to be faithful to the Father in being prepared now to go to the cross. You're full of grief, but you will be full of joy once you understand why I'm doing it and once the Spirit that is in me has come to live in you. So I'm expressing faithfulness to my Father in obeying what he wants me to do. And you will express your love for me and therefore your faithfulness to me by your obedience to my commands. What is a disobedient person? An unfaithful person. What is a faithful person? An obedient person. You can't run away from the relationship between these two words. Now, we're not talking about simply being obedient to a specific command. The command to love, I mean, that is involved, obviously. But we're really talking about what kind of people we are. Are you a faithful person? See, a faithful person is reliable, is dependable. When you say something, people know you mean it. When you promise something, it's not going to be empty, but you're going to do all within your power to fulfill that promise. Because you're faithful. You're reliable. You're dependable. And we live in a world where it would seem there are so few people, certainly in public life, that are faithful, that are reliable, that are dependable. The whole political world has been in turmoil in recent months because people feel they cannot trust their politicians. But anybody who understands politics knows that you can't trust what politicians say because ultimately they will do what is politically in their favor. And if that involves doing U-turns in order to get elected, that's what they'll do, because that's the nature of politics. But it's not the nature of faithfulness among God's people. And we're not here to sit in judgment on politicians, but clearly we're not called to be like them. The Pharisees were politicians. They were religious politicians. And a lot of their denial of Jesus was politically motivated. They were afraid that the Romans would come and take away their authority and their position and all the rest of it. But we, as the children of God, the people of God, are called to give a witness in this day and age of what it means to be faithful, to be reliable, to be dependable, to be like those whose lives are built on the rock and will not be shaken by events, because our lives are not built on shifting sand. And when we think of what God has been doing just in recent weeks here in Kingdom Faith, we see His faithfulness. He spoke just a few weeks ago about this business of crossing over, like Joshua leading the children. Well, faithfully He's been working in us. Faithfully He's been working among us. Faithfully He's been taking us into a new place. And faithfully He will lead us into all that He's promised us, into the abundance, into the harvest, into the prosperity, into everything, because He is faithful. He is not a man that He would lie. When He speaks something, when He declares it, it's because He knows it's going to happen, because He can already see it happen. Remember, He dwells in eternity, not within time. So He can see the past, the present, the future, all at the same time. He can see what is happening at the end of the world, although we've got to wait in our time scale to get there. But He can describe it all in the book of Revelation, because He's seen it. Difficult for us to understand eternity, isn't it? But you see, when you go to heaven, you will understand things like that. Isn't that amazing? You know, I hear people say, oh, when I go to heaven, I've got a whole series of questions to ask. And I think, well, that's curious. I don't think you'll need to ask any questions when you go to heaven. You'll know the answers. You'll know the answer without having to ask the question. Is that good or is that good? Meanwhile, we are called to be faithful. When you're in church leadership, like in a ministry as Kingdom Faith has been over the years, I praise God that I've been surrounded by faithful people. Because you see, where there's people you can trust, there is unity. And where there is unity, God commands the blessing. And we have had wonderful, faithful people over the years that have enabled the growing up and the development and the expansion of the influence of Kingdom Faith, which is considerable now. And in the church here, what we need now and what we will continue to need is a faithful people. So that Pastor Clive and those who are in leadership of the congregational life will know that they are surrounded by people that they can trust. And it isn't just trusting people when everything's going well. But, you know, the people will hang in there when they're going through testing times. That they won't give up. They won't walk away. They won't cave in to pressure. But they will faithfully keep faith with God, keep faith with their brothers and sisters in Christ, keep faith with the leadership in the church here. I can say that because I don't really lead the congregation here. That's not my responsibility. That is Pastor Clive and those in the church leadership team with him. But you see how important it is that when you ask anybody to do anything, you know that they will be faithful in doing it. Jesus taught that little parable. I think it's a very, very powerful parable of the father asking two sons to go into the vineyard. And one said, "No, I don't want to go." But then he thought better of it and he went. And the other one said, "Oh, yes, Father, I'll go. But he never went. And Jesus simply asked the question, which one did the will of his father? Oh, he might not have had a good attitude because what he was being asked to do probably cut across his plans to go to the beach for the day. Or whatever it might have been. But he thought better of it. Wait a minute, it's better to obey my father than to do what I wanted to do. So he went obediently and did what he was asked. The other was, you know, one of these people, always got the right words. Yes, 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 I'll go. Hallelujah, praise God. Yes, brother. But he never goes. That's an unfaithful person. Not a faithful person. It was the one who went who was faithful. And the one who didn't go was unfaithful. And I suppose one of the biggest problems that afflicts the body of Christ generally today is that so many people want to do their own thing. They don't want to be told what to do or asked what to do or have to obey anything or anybody. Everybody wants to be his own oracle. Well, I'll do it if the Spirit of God leads me and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, so much of it is super spirituality that is completely false. That the Holy Spirit works together in the church in unity. He lives within each one of us, but not so that we've got our own private line to God to do whatever we want to do. But because he's put us in the body, he leads the body. And you see, he wanted the whole body to go over into what he's been promising. He's therefore calling us all to be a faithful people of love. Now, here's the key. You see, what does Jesus say is the key to obedience? Love. What is the key to faithfulness? Love. You see, in that little parable, the boy that went, the son that went into the vineyard, loved his father. The other one didn't. I mean, he didn't have love for him, but we're talking about the love of action. And you see, the word that Jesus uses at the Last Supper, the word that when he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you," and when he's saying, you know, "You're to love one another as I have loved you," and so on, all the way through that whole narrative, he's using the word agape, or the verb agapeo. That special love of God that is expressed in action. Not in feeling, not in emotion, but in action. So you see, the boy, the son, who acted in love by going and doing what the father told him to do, was obedient, was faithful. He actually did love. The other son might have had emotional love for his father because he was his father, but he didn't do agape. He didn't do love. He was not faithful. He was not obedient. Now, let's just drop the word obedience for a moment or two and focus on the word faithful. If I asked you, do you want to be a faithful person? You would all say, you would all say,
yes.
Took a bit of squeezing, didn't it? We don't like the idea of being unfaithful. You see, you don't want other people to be unfaithful to you. You want to be able to trust them. You want them to be reliable and dependable. You want them to be faithful to you. Well, we reap what we sow, don't we? So, we need to be faithful to others. I'm sure the only reason why God has supplied so many faithful people over the years is because God has built faithfulness into our lives. That's His grace. Give Him all the glory for that. That's what Psalm 115 verse 1 was saying. All the glory goes to God for His faithfulness and His love. Does that mean that everybody that has ever been a part of Kingdom Faith is faithful? No, not for a moment. Does it mean that any one of us can't go through a phase of being unfaithful, disobedient? No, I suppose everybody does go through phases like that, perhaps in minor rather than major ways, but there are times when we choose what we want over and above what God wants. We choose to please ourselves rather than fulfill the responsibilities that we have to others. But praise God, He doesn't whip us, beat us, scold us, punish us. He corrects us, He disciplines us in love because He is a loving Father. He brings us back on track. And He says, okay, being unfaithful to me didn't work, did it? I mean, it brought tension, it brought confusion, it brought conflict. So you were much better off when you came back to me in faithfulness, to my word, to my will, to my way. In other words, faithfulness works. Unfaithfulness, well, it produces a whole lot of negatives, doesn't it? When people are unfaithful to one another, they want to conceal their unfaithfulness. They become secretive and all kinds of things. And when Christians fail one another, they don't go around saying, oh, I failed in my responsibility, I failed to be faithful, I failed to obey. They don't do that. They excuse themselves and try to justify themselves and start blaming everybody else for their own lack of faithfulness. Hello? That's human nature. It's called the flesh. And that's when believers start accusing. But who's the accuser of the brethren? Right. You see, what spirit is behind faithfulness? The Holy Spirit. Because faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, as love is, yes? What spirit is behind unfaithfulness? Certainly not the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit inspires faithfulness, He's never going to inspire unfaithfulness. So it must be some other spirit that is not the Spirit of God. some negative spirit, some deceiving spirit, some demonic spirit, really. And you know the devil is an angel of light, yeah? So that little voice that says, please yourself, is actually a demonic voice, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit is saying, be faithful. The Holy Spirit is saying, keep your word. And this other demonic little voice says, oh, that doesn't matter. If it's not convenient, if it's too costly, just please yourself. And Christians can become so deceived, they think that they can never be deceived. That every thought they have is somehow all right because they have the Holy Spirit. But not every thought you have comes from the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit, but you've still got your natural mind in your soul. And the soul can come under a lot of influence and pressure from other spirits. And we don't like to think it like that. No. That was just me being me. Well, who wants you to be you? Who is encouraging you to be you instead of the real you, the new you, the Christ in you? That's what the Holy Spirit wants, isn't it? So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth. Right. So now, what have we got before us? Jerichos and AIs. Now, if you know your scripture, you know the difference. What happened with Jericho? Well, we all know. The walls came tumbling down. Joshua at the back, look, Jericho, look, Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down, 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 down. We love it, yes. But why did they come tumbling down? Because the children of Israel were faithful. They were obedient to what God told them to do. Walk around the city. Let's say this is the city. Walk around it once for 7 days. On the seventh day, they had to walk around it seven times. And while they were walking around, they had to be totally silent. You can see that obedience is testing for some people. And then they had to walk around seven times on the seventh day and then shout and blow the trumpets and bomb and crash down came the walls. Now you don't have to imagine, was there an earthquake or how did it happen? Never mind how it happened, it happened. And I was in Jericho last week, and I can tell you there are no walls. Whatever walls there ever were are no longer there. So, obedience led to victory. But then there was Ai, which was a much smaller place. And of course, the trouble is, you know, you get a bit of victory, and if you're not careful, pride can get in. And this is exactly what happened with them. Pride got in. They thought, Ai, that's a doddle compared with Jericho. I mean, we can go up there just with a few of us, and we can take the city. So they went up, they got repelled, several of them were killed. And they came back defeated. What had happened? They had been presumptuous. They hadn't even listened to God.
they had just gone ahead without the leadership and done their own thing and suffered defeat. Now, when Joshua got the strategy for Jerusalem, because God didn't give it to the people, gave it to Joshua, see? And they all obeyed. Remember what they said before they went over? Whatever you tell us to do, we will do. That sounds like Joshua's got a faithful group of people. Because the faithless ones had all died in the wilderness. So now he's got faithful. What's the difference between faith and faithful? Nothing, actually. When you read the list of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, actually the word in the Greek is faith. Pistis, faith. Faithfulness is faith in action. You see? So when Joshua inquires of God and they sort things out and what is wrong in the camp and then go against Ai, victory. Because they go up together. They go up in obedience. They go up faithful. And anybody that had been unfaithful got dealt with before they went up to Ai. So, this is the message of the moment. That we are a faithful people. But a faithful people have to walk in faithfulness. Right? Great is his faithfulness. So great will be our faithfulness. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do our own thing. We're not going to wander off in independence here, there, or everywhere. But no, we're going to be faithful to our God, faithful to one another, faithful to the covenant in which we live with God, with each other, faithful in the purposes of God, faithful in the leading of the Spirit, faithful in honoring the Word of God. Why? Because he's poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that faithfulness is the expression of his love. So here's your aspiration. Here's what you need to speak over your life for this coming year. This is the beginning of Advent, the season that prepares for Christmas and the New Year. And so we can say, right, this coming year is going to be a year of faithfulness. And what will be the result? You will win favor and a good name. Everybody who knows you will say, oh, you know, it's so great that you're just so faithful. I can always rely upon you. I can always depend upon you. I just love you. You'll win a good name. I mean, it's good to have a good name. Amen. You will have a good name and you will win favor. People will give you favor because they can trust you. And then it says that this favor will be in the sight of God and man. Now, if you have favor in the sight of God, what does that mean? There's going to be a constant flow of his grace into your life. So next year is going to be a year of faithfulness, but it's going to be a year of grace. It's going to be a year of his favor. It's going to be a year when he's going to lavish his gifts upon you. Because you see, he is faithful, so he loves lavishing gifts upon his faithful children. Hallelujah. And then that's not all. Because as you trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, He will make your paths straight. Isn't that good? Why? Because, look, simple illustration. If I walk in faithfulness, God can lead me step by step by step by step by step in the straight way. He is the way. He is the shepherd. I know His voice. I faithfully follow Him. So I go on a straight path. But what would happen if I was to be unfaithful? Or sometimes unfaithful? Well, I'd be doing all right for a while. Then I'd go off. Boom, boom, and God would have to bring, hey, what are you doing over there? I'm over here. Come on, back. So I have to go back over there, and then I go wandering off. You see, I am no longer walking in a straight path. We have had many great men and women of God come and preach at Faith Camp. Some of the best internationally known names over the last 20 odd years. I can't remember what any of them preached, apart from one sermon. There's one sermon that one of them preached, I won't say who it was, but one of these internationally well-known people preached this sermon I've always remembered. And he contrasted preference and conviction. And he said, the problem for Christians is that so often they make decisions and do things out of preference. What they would prefer to do, to please themselves because it's convenient, because it's not too costly. But the faithful make their decisions out of conviction, out of knowing the will of God by His Word and through His Spirit taking that Word and declaring it to us. I've always remembered that. It was such a powerful word. Preference is what we would all like to do in the flesh. Conviction is what we will do by the Spirit. Preference is being unfaithful. Living by conviction is being faithful. So, I rejoice in all that God is going to do in these coming months. Because what He's been doing, you see, is to work in us to make us a faithful people. Now, we've got to live it out. But I don't think there's anybody that belongs to Kingdom Faith who really, in their heart of hearts, wants to be unfaithful. I don't think this is the kind of church where anybody like that would survive for very long. They'd leave after a little while. But I really believe that the faithful here want to be faithful. Now, we're not going to get all some sort of persecution complex if we think that in some ways we might fail. Unfortunately, that happens to all of us at times. But it's a matter of the heart. It's not in our hearts to do that. We were praying about the nature of the heart, the prayer meeting before the service, which a few of you were at. Just thought I'd slip that in out of conviction, not out of preference. But you see, our hearts, if they're filled with His love, will want to express our faithfulness in action.
Amen.
So we will want to obey. And when you want to obey, obedience isn't difficult. You know, John says in his first letter that God's commands are not burdensome. Because if you love him, the commands aren't a burden. You want to do them. See, you want to do them. And when there's a challenge, when it's costly, we've got each other to help, to encourage, to build up. Mm-hmm. We can pray for each other. Rachel gave a little testimony of what happened when I pray for her, but you can pray for one another. Things like that will happen.
Amen.
Why? Because together we're going to be a faithful people. And God will honor that faithfulness with his grace and pour forth so much of his love and power into our lives. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
What's it going to mean? I don't know. I can't tell you what it's going to mean for you. Don't even know what it's going to mean for me. But, you know, I know God's been saying to me personally in the last few days, Colin, I want to do something new in you. Because yeah. I know every time he does something new, it's always good.
Amen.
It's never negative. And he says, he just told me a result. He said, I want to do something new in you so that more of my power gets released in your life. So I'm in for that. I'm in for that. I'll let you know when it's happened. Or you probably won't need to let me know. You'll know when it's happened. But that's the challenge, you see. The challenge is, okay, now, I need, therefore, to be in that place of prayer, be in that place where I'm listening to God, be in that place where I'm responding to his word in order to let him do it. I've got to be faithful in doing that. Not just so that I can say, oh, more power in my ministry. No, no, no. But for the benefit of those who will receive the benefits of the power.
Yes.
So we're not in this business for ourselves, are we? We're in it so that we can impact the lives of other people with the life, the love, the power of God. Yes. And a faithful people can do that. So, you've got to speak one of two things over your life this morning before we come to the table. I am a faithful believer. Or I am an unfaithful believer. But there ain't nothing in between.
Yes.
There aren't any alternatives. So you've got to make your choice now. Okay, if I make the choice, I'm a faithful believer. What do I do next? I keep confessing it, and I keep responding to whatever God asks me to do. And I demonstrate my faithfulness to the others all around me so they can trust me, depend upon me, know that my word is my bond, and I will not do anything to fail them intentionally. Sometimes I might inadvertently, and I will seek their forgiveness, but not intentionally. And together, by the grace of God, through the power of His Spirit, by Christ in us, we will walk that straight path. And next year will be full of Jerichos and no AIs.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Come on, let's all stand. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's just lift our hands to the Lord and thank Him for His faithfulness. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you've always been faithful to me. You said you would never leave me, never forsake me. You've always been faithful, Lord. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. Hallelujah. Lord, you have said time and time again to me, trust me, trust me, trust me. And every time I've trusted you, you have never failed. You've never failed. And I thank you for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord.
I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness when you were here on earth, that you went to the cross having faithfully obeyed the will of your Father so that your life could be given for my life in order that now I might possess your life. And I just give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I bless your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, as we come to your table this morning, we're so conscious of your faithfulness, that this is the result of your faithfulness, that we can receive your body, we can receive your blood, we can receive all the virtue of who you are. Know that you are constantly refreshing us, restoring us, reviving us, renewing us, restoring us with your love and your faithfulness. Now, Lord, it's not a word of scripture, but we know the saying that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. And we're not going to hell. And we're not just full of good intentions. But Lord, we are speaking over our lives this morning. We're speaking over the corporate life of Kingdom Faith. And we're saying that by your grace, through your love and mercy, we will be a faithful people. And Lord, I just trust that every one of us in this room, all those that are listening on the streaming, wherever they may be, makes this affirmation of faith over his or her life at this moment. I will be a person of faithfulness. Faithful to my Lord and Savior. Faithful to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially in the body to which I belong, where God has put me. Faithful at work, that I will give a witness of faithfulness. Faithful to neighbors, to family, to whoever else who doesn't know Christ. That people will see a trustworthiness in my life. People will see that they can depend upon me, rely upon me. That I won't use people for myself. I won't manipulate anyone. I won't put others down. I want to build them up and encourage them. And just to show them by example what it is to be a faithful person. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have put the Holy Spirit into each one of us, that the fruit of faithfulness, of faith in action, will be seen in our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Purata pakarasi torisato pakarasi nama. Purata pakarasi topa. Now, Lord, we thank you that this morning we can partake of the gifts that are the result of your faithfulness. That on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread, and when you had given thanks, you broke it. Gave it to your disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given you thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And just before we receive, let's pray for all our Christian brothers in Israel, both the Messianic Jewish believers and the Arab and Palestinian believers.
because we are one in Christ with all of them. And let's pray for their faithfulness in the face of all the persecution. And, you know, some of that persecution that they're facing is, we just don't know anything like that in this nation. So, Lord, we thank you that you are raising up a faithful people in Israel. And we pray that they will stand strong and they will stand faithful in the face of the persecution, of the lies, of the false accusations of the enemy, and everything else that is brought against them. And we thank you, Lord, that your voice of truth is going out over that nation and within that nation through those people that faithfully keep hold of your word and of your spirit. And we give you all the glory. Now, Lord, I pray for a supernatural miracle now in these next few minutes, for a miracle to be happening in the hearts and lives of everybody in this room. I pray, Lord, that as we receive these gifts, something of your faithfulness will be released into our hearts and lives. Something of your grace that will enable that faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Let's have the musicians forward. Hallelujah. There are different ways in which we can receive communion, but let's just receive this morning within this context of believing God to release that fruit of faithfulness. The Spirit release that afresh in us this morning. That His grace will abound towards us. That this coming year, the church's year, which officially begins today, this will be a year of faithfulness. And that we will win favor and a good name with God and man. And that every single one of us will walk in a straight path with the Lord. Not meandering from one side to another because of unfaithfulness. Let's believe you can distribute the gifts. Let's believe that as we receive, that this faithfulness is going to be expressed in love, in obedience to God's command to love, to give, to bless, to serve one another. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.